Out of all the sports teams that exist, certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
And here we go, here we go!
America's team! Mexico's team! World's team! My Dallas Cowboys!
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Holland.
Hello, Cowboys Nation. Welcome to another episode of the World's Team. Remember, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and I am joined, as always, by my brother-in-arms, Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, brother?
Yes, yeah, all good. All good. We're getting another week closer. We're going to have to start really rattling those draft day plans because, you know, for you and me, the draft gets very booked out, should we say.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
We start like here in the UK, start about 11 p.m., but meaning we end up going right through till about 8 o'clock in the morning on various other shows and what have you, all 3 days.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, well, saying that, for next, we've actually got some special guests coming onto the show, some good friends of ours, so be sure they go and check that out for next week. Should we announce it just now so people can be prepared for it, Mike?
Not yet. He's going to let me know tomorrow if he can make it because he might be going to California.
Ah, gotcha. Right. Okay. Well, hopefully we'll update you folks that about our special guest. Hopefully that is confirmed for next week. So, but yeah, you're right, Mike. It's a silly draft season. A lot has been going on. There has been more work-ins within the Cowboys. But to start off with the show, Dak Prescott is back in action. He's been working out.
Yeah, and looking good too. Yeah, I mean, I know it's just shorts and t-shirt, throwing the ball around, but, you know, a lot of people made light of the injury that he had, the hamstring injury, and because it didn't look all that much on the field. And then when they go back and then they look at it, and then you get the news after it that, you know, he tore the tendon practically off the bone, bar a few strands, and you're just like, oof, that does not sound good.
Hamstrings are not fun, man. Hamstring injuries are not fun. I've torn my hamstring twice and when I was playing soccer and stuff, or football, as we call it back here, not American football, but soccer, right? And it's not fun. Like, it feels like somebody's just like driving a knife in the back of your leg. That's what it feels like. It's very unpleasant. But it's good to see Dak kind of walking about, throwing the ball again. And I will say, and this was my observation after seeing the footage of him working out, he's lost a ton of weight. He looks in great shape. And you made the comment before we started started recording. He doesn't look like an inflated linebacker anymore. It looks like more like your typical quarterback look now. More slimmed down, more athletic ability. Mate, give me your thoughts, man.
It's just good to see him back on the field.
Yeah.
You always want your starting quarterback to be back, especially for the Cowboys, when I know and up until this week, we didn't have a backup quarterback. Well, we had one on the roster, but okay, that's by the by. But it's good to see your starting quarterback out there. He's doing stuff. Now, you know, he can start doing some, you know, these Dak, you know, like it was last year, those Dak yard practices he was having with his wide receivers. You can all start getting into the flow of things now and really start knuckling down into football. When you're at this stage of the game, at this stage of the season, to be like back in practice, that's nothing but big thumbs up for me, to be honest with you. You just, there's nothing bad about it.
No, I totally agree with you, man. Like, it's just coming to the point now, we're getting ever so closer back to football season again. Seeing players work out, seeing players throwing the ball, seeing players doing their drills, like the draft coming up. It's all exciting stuff, but the main exciting part is when it comes to like September time, when the season starts. That's that I just cannot wait for. I just cannot wait for this season to start. And I'm very anxious to see what this new Dallas Cowboys team's going to be like under Brian Schottenheimer. We've said it for several weeks now, mate. Like, well, several months since he was made official as our head coach. He's got a big, big weight on his shoulders. Like, the pressure is on him to go out there and deliver, because Jerry essentially vouched for him. Like, of all the candidates we had there available, there was no approach made. And basically, we took on Brian Schottenheimer, someone that was already in the building, someone that no one else seemed to want to interview. So there's a lot of pressure there. And for Schottenheimer and for Jerry, they both needed to deliver and not, like, get us an NFC Championship game or something. Like, I know. I mean, let's be honest here, mate. Like, we've been suffering for so long. We need something to change in some regard. And credit to Jerry Jones, though, he has been making moves. And that brings up to my next point. Obviously, we've made some moves in free agency, but just recently, and as we were just talking about quarterback here, we traded for a quarterback. So the Dallas Cowboys have just acquired Joe Milton III from the New England Patriots, giving away their fifth round draft pick? Yep. In exchange for Joe Milton and a seventh rounder on return. So, to me, I love the deal. I love the trade. I very low risk, potential good uprising in terms of a good solid backup and that capacity. Like, give me your thoughts, Mike.
Right, me and you have spoken about this already on the UK Cowboys show with Jamie. And look, something needs to be done. You had to do something in terms of getting a backup quarterback into the building. Milton has a cannon of an arm. It's a massive arm. It's a huge, monstrous, and it's effortless as well. When he's shown those deep passes, when he's putting velocity on the ball, it's effortless. Good release as well. It's nice and snappy. It's gone. When he makes the motion, the ball is out there and it's gone. Decision-making, processing speed, all that needs to come up. Ball placement, that needs to come up too. There's a lot of work that needs to be done with him. You know, it's not his fault. In Tennessee, because they play the spread offense, and they're very, very good at it too. When you look at some of the wide receivers that come out of there, fast, big wide receivers. Good example. You know, these guys can, they've got huge catch radiuses. They're very often wide open. So for a guy like Milton, it was very easy to strike the target because you had just such an easy target to hit. Obviously, in the NFL, those windows get smaller and tighter. And he's not really that guy to do it. Now, I know you think, you believe, and you may not actually be wrong, right, when you stop and you think about it, but you believe that the Milton hire doesn't stop Dallas from drafting a quarterback in day three. I think it makes no difference. I still think they should draft one.
I don't know, Mike. I do have a point, but I will bring that on to later in a later segment for my reasons why.
But no, I know. I get it. I get that the Cowboys, I mean, they've got 10 draft picks as it stands right now. They didn't actually lose pick number 5. They just moved it to a set to round 7. And I get that there's a lot on the table that they need to organize in this draft. If they get this draft right, and you talk about Schottenheimer needs to take the pressure off, needs to get that giant monkey off Dallas Cowboys' back and get at least to an NFC Championship. A good draft here with these 10 draft picks is actually could be the thing if they get it right.
Yeah,
and I get what you're saying, that a backup quarterback isn't necessarily going to be the thing that gets you into an NFC Championship. I get it.
Yeah, and let's look the number as well. Not every single draft pick is going to be like a starter.
Massive
contribution to this football team. Yeah, some of them will be backups, some of them will be starters, some of them might actually get cut. We just don't know. But the matter of fact is that I think the whole Joe Milton trade is a much valuable option in terms of as a good solid backup to Dak Prescott. Reason being, I think in terms of what we can, depending on what we do with our offense, who we bring in, like for CeeDee Lamb, like for Milton, maybe not so much, but if we were to get the likes of Ted McMillan into the building, there you go. You've got a guy who's got a gun for an arm. You've got an actual deep threat wide receiver that can actually go down the field and stretch it out and actually be very contested, contest those catches. Even Luther Burden, you can throw him into the mix, possibly. So I think this is more accommodating to the squad in terms of depth. And I will say, though, and I mentioned this earlier before we went on air, and I still can't believe this is being said on national television. I really don't, mate. So, and I know this particular gentleman is an absolute troll when it comes to the Cowboys, but LeSean McCoy on, what was the name of the show? It wasn't on Speak. It was called The Facility on FS1. Basically, says Joe Milton can be QB1. I'm sorry, but can someone please get LeSean McCoy off the air? It's just simply embarrassing. It really is.
What you got to remember is it's a soundbite that, and this is what they're really, really good at. All of them are, you know. It's not just him. Joy is the same. They create sound bites.
It's cheap takes to really get fans riled up, and they're never, ever right.
No.
What's the point being on television if you're never right? This is why I love our good friend Dave Hellman so much. He brought realism to those shows and actually spoke facts. And obviously, he's not on, Speak as much anymore. He still works for Fox and still does his articles, still does amazing work, but it was like he was bringing too much truth and facts to the show where they're just out there just to make sound clips of
sound bites.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just cheap. It's just cheap. Shannon Sharpe's the same. Skip Bayless the same. For him to wear an Eagles jersey to support them for the Super Bowl. And you call yourself a Dallas Cowboys fan? Get the hell out of here. Come on.
Yeah. What you got to remember is two things. They're there to do that. But they know that Dallas Cowboys takes are the ones that get you the most. They're always the bullseye. You do that, especially if you go with Dak, you just know. Yeah, you hit that Dallas Cowboys target. You know that show, that particular clip, is going to just be tenfold from what you get from all the others.
Oh, totally, totally. But also, speaking about backup quarterbacks, though, Mike, former backup quarterback Trey Lance has actually found a new home.
Mm. Back in California.
Yeah, he's back in California. He has just signed with the LA Chargers. So, he's back to where near enough started. He's not far away from San Francisco, I guess.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but that whole the whole Trey Lance thing was just an absolute disaster. Did not work out. It was a wasted draft pick. You hated it from the get-go, Mike. I remember from day one, you was like, I hate it.
Yeah.
At the time, I tried to look on the positive side. It's like, well, he's a former first, he could be like Scheme or whatever or not. And you were that adamant saying, Trey Lance is not really that good. Like, no. Why he was picked in the first round is beyond me. And I was like, I trust your judgment. And then we got to see Trey Lance actually try and be on the field. And you're like, okay.
Oh, dear.
Now I get it. So, but yeah, Mike, as we've been kind of talking about quarterbacks, so also in other news, the Dallas Cowboys have been having their 30-day visits.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. The most important part of all, I think. Something, a pattern me and you noticed, mind you, very early in all of this, in not just the 30-day, because, I mean, we still got plenty more to go on. You still have Dallas Day. You know, you've got that to contend with as well.
Yep.
But from the combine, with the meets that they had, plus with the 30-day, if you go to any tracker, but you go to the 30-day tracker for Dallas, no quarterbacks.
See, this is the point I was making, Mike. We brought in Milton, and we're not interviewing any quarterbacks, not even late rounders or anything like that, and that, to me, says a lot, in my opinion. I think we're perfectly sound now when it comes to the quarterback position going forward. Like, we've got Milton for a couple of years, like, based on the contract. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So, why draft? We might get someone undrafted, but I don't see us using any of our draft picks. Who knows? We might actually get Seth Hennigan undrafted. He's more likely to go undrafted in some regard.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some of these guys, these day three guys, have all got huge question marks with them. Injuries, decision-making, ball accuracy, arm talent. These guys have enough where you could go, I'm not willing to use, especially for Cowboys when they're trying to fill all these holes, and they go, I'm not willing to use a draft pick. Let's just see what runs out of the draft and get a high quality, make one of our priority UDFAs.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you, man. And I think it definitely now puts more focus on and positions that we definitely need now going into this draft. But,
yeah.
hit me with it, Mike. Name me names are currently on for the 30-day visit tracker right now.
Yeah. Sorry, I just jumped a mile. A notification just come up on my computer and I got my headphones turned right up. I just jumped a mile. Oh, God, give me a heart attack.
Speak about notifications. You just got one saying that the former Atlanta Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones has just finally announced his retirement.
He's done and dusted. He's out of there.
He's finally out of football.
What a talent.
Great player for Atlanta. Caused us many headaches over the years.
Oh, yeah. And, like, he was one of those guys as well that in college, you've seen him coming up and you're just like, this guy, you know? Yeah. It was clear as day.
Anyway, going back to the fact.
Back to this. Yeah. So, a guy, first of all, I mean, let's talk about some guys that we like, yeah, that we particularly like. So straight out of the gate, they say Trevion Henderson, Ohio State running back,
yep,
along with Quinshon Judkins. So that's both of them. So that's two guys we like already.
Yep.
Bishal Tootin. That guy we really like. That's an interesting one. Here's where we kind of keep going. On the Ohio State front, Amika Ubuka is one, the wide receiver.
Yeah, funny enough, that's actually Jeff Kavanaugh's favorite guy, I believe.
He's really good.
He is class. I like Ubuka. I really do. Mm. If you're at the 12th pick overall, is that a bit rich to take him there? I would say so.
He's really good. He is really, really good. He's my wide receiver three.
But I suppose...
He's my two. He's my wide receiver two.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. Like, when you look over the past, especially with when it came to the CeeDee Lamb draft year back in 2000, right? how many wide receivers by all the analysts, all the experts had CeeDee Lamb as the number one wide receiver? Not many.
Mm.
Not many. So we may be talking about Tate McMillan. We may be talking about Matthew Golden. We might be talking about Luther Burden. Mm. But the Cowboys might have a different ranking system of their own, like they did with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
So Igbuka might actually be the number one wide receiver in their minds. And who are we to question? Let's be honest. Every time we've picked a first round wide receiver in recent memory, Dez Bryant, CeeDee Lamb have worked out fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you. I like, you know, like you say, on top of like not just Ibuka's talent. Like you say, there's probably something in there they particularly like a scheme fit. And they go, that was CeeDee Lamb. This is what we could do. And they've already schemed up ideas in their head of how that playbook would look with the pair of them in there. And they prefer the way that looks in comparison to other guys. Like you say, just like the CeeDee Lamb thing when it went back in that. And they were like, oh, he was our wide receiver one.
Yeah, totally. Same thing. And who knows? Like, we may actually double dip in Ohio State, just like we did double dip with Michigan. A couple of years ago.
Yeah. As they always say, mate, never draft by the logo.
Yep. I mean, what was it? We mentioned it was Mazi Smith and tight end.
Luke Schoonmaker.
Schoonmaker. We double dipped with Michigan. Who knows? We might double dip with Ohio State this year. Who knows?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the way he's going with the way they've ranked it all up, there could be more than two. But going on with the 3-day visits, Texas, which is interesting because of the Dallas Day situation, but they have decided to bring in Kelvin Banks and Alfred Collins. Both of those guys we like.
And Cameron Williams.
Cameron Williams, the offensive tackle as well, correct, yes. On Ole Miss's side, Walton Nolan. That's not somebody we've spoken much about. I like Walton Nolan. I think he's a beast.
You're a big fan of Walton Nolan. Yeah,
he's an animal.
I do like Walton Nolan, but for me, I wouldn't say D-tackle is a number one priority. To me, he's not like your Mason Grahams or per se. He's not like him. Like, I wouldn't put my 12th-round draft pick on Walton Nolan, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I like Walton Nolan. I mean, you've got Clemson's RJ Mickens, which is an interesting one.
He'll be a late day two, day three guy.
Yeah, day three, 100%. Yeah. Interesting that they're looking at that position, mind. Obviously, then you've got Jack Beck from TCU. We like Jack Beck. Mm-hmm. Really, really good. His all-star period went as best as it could for any wide receiver. Elijah Ario from the tight end from Miami. And here's the big one. 30-day visit and private workout. Running back of Mariam Hampton.
That would be sweet if we get Hampton. That would be sweet.
All right. Thinking about this, right, that they're paying a lot of attention to Hampton. That they feel, I the more that they keep doing this, the more the direction I keep looking is, the direction that I keep catching the Cowboys looking. Because it's all about breadcrumbs during the draft period. They did it, we missed it with LVE, and the LVE breadcrumbs were extremely, like, when you do it, you're like, how did we miss this?
Well, the only person that actually said it was going to be LVE was our good friend Brian Broaddus. He said, it's like, I think the pick is going to be Leighton Vander Esch. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, really? And he's like, oh, absolutely. I was like, oh. I was like, so we're not going for this guy or this guy? It's like, no, I think you'll be very surprised, and we will go linebacker in that year. Well, what year was that, 2018?
Yes, 2018. Yeah, yeah, that it would have been. So yeah, it was like the, so I watched the breadcrumbs, that Dallas keep laying, and every time when you go back and you look, it's like another breadcrumb's been laid with Amarian Hampton. Here's the thing, right? Knowing that he's such a priority and high on the board for Dallas, right? I know me and you have said this a lot. You're like, I like Amarian Hampton. I'd like to trade back. But if they feel that strongly about him and they don't trade back, would you be disappointed or would you be like, I wish we traded back and got a little bit more?
No, not necessarily. If we pick him at 12, then at least that resolves our running back situation going forward. Like, it would be nice if we were to trade back maybe two places, maybe with the likes of Indianapolis, pick up an extra third round or something like that so we can stock up more in terms of like building the O-line or getting a defensive tackle or edge rusher or something like that.
Okay.
That would be great. Like, but if I'm being honest now, Mike, like, I think if we're going to be doing any trades now, I think it's going to be more in the second round, if I'm being honest.
That's where
my head's at.
Like to come up higher, is what you're saying? Nope. Or you're going to trade down in the second?
Trade down in the second.
Ooh, I don't know. The one thing that really always frustrates me, and it is really, really frustrating, when you do these mock drafts, is always you make your third pick, your third round pick, and then you're waiting ages for that fifth round pick. But then it's fifth round and it's boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. We really need the fourth rounder back.
Round is killer. I hate not. And like you look at the names that are there available when day three starts, and you're just like, oh, there is so much we could do with that fourth round pick right now.
Yeah. Like, well, here's the question. Do you think we'll be doing any trades at all to even try and get back our fourth rounder? Do you think that's even possible?
I mean, you could, for definite, especially if you tinker with that first round pick, as we spoke about. That's like the easiest way to get that fourth back. Yeah. You know, not necessarily you go, oh, we'll trade back a first and get a fourth. I mean, like, that you could trade back, get perhaps a third and a fifth or sixth or whatever, but you use all of that to package up to use to get a fourth round pick
and match up the draft
to manipulate. Capital. Yeah. You know, you manipulate the board other ways for your draft capital. But by doing that, that's how you can package things together. And it is an easy way to do it. It is. I mean, you could even, if you really wanted to mess things up, I mean, you could use fifth round picks to pull yourself. You got that seventh.
Fifth rounder now.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is you've got the extra seventh. You have two fifth rounders and two sevenths.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
In fact, actually, I tell a lie. Like, in terms of the trades, I think we probably will trade back in the first, and we might actually, whatever we do accumulate, we might actually use what we've got and actually move a little bit higher in the second.
That is something I keep thinking about. Is that trade back in the first and trade up in the second. Yeah. So you're switching back and forth both ways, and you're just using the extra draft capital that you've picked up to manipulate the second round, you know, depending on what you can get out of the deal. You know, I mean, well, second round's finicky because the Cowboys, weirdly, are in a good place at pick number 12 to start the first day. To start the second day where they are just seems awkward. It's an awkward place because it seems to be that when you come down in that second round, either the players you really, really want have gone or the guys that you want to pick, you feel you can wait on. It's like a really odd position to be in.
Yeah, it's being like just in the low end of the middle of the pack is like the most horrible position.
Isn't it just an odd position in the second round? The third round, because you haven't got that fourth round, my mind always goes to, and so the second round, you don't want to gamble too much, but you kind of look at it and you go, oh, okay, I'll try and do something. I could probably live with this. But the third round, I don't mind reaching in the third round because I haven't got that fourth round pick. I'd rather pick a guy that I know I really, really like, who is really, really talented and fits the Dallas scheme. And you go, it might just, you know, and I always get like an odd grading for my third round pick because I'm reaching a little bit, but I'm reaching because I just want to play that pick safe because I've got to wait so long for my next pick.
Well, that's the thing though, like with likes of the even the second round, some in fact every round really when you think about it, we're talking about Hampton here primarily. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like people say, oh yeah, he'll be gone in the 20s, and we're thinking about picking him in 12. I was like, well, let's be honest here. Mm. If we don't pick him, he's not going to be there in the second round.
No, he's not. No.
And you can forget about Ashton Jeanty. Like he's not part of the Betty D visit, is he?
No. I don't think he's. I think he's part of the Dallas Day cycle.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I don't think that will have any impact as much, but in terms of Hatton compared to Hampton, but either way, I still think Jeanty will be gone before us when we're up on.
He's a raider. Anyway. He's a raider.
He's a raider or he's a bear.
Yeah, he's a raider. Yeah, I'm telling you, he's a raider.
Yeah. So when it comes to 12, and if we do decide to go with Hampton, I'm in a situation like I don't mind the pick. Like, is it a bit of a reach? Potentially. But you're thinking about the financials of it. Like, if you really do like this guy and you think he's going to be a good fit, then just go and get him.
Yeah. That's it. If that's your guy.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Like, and I'll support it no matter what. As long as we don't do anything stupid in this year's draft. Like, if we somehow and go, like the whole mock drafts are saying that Jackson Dart's a quarterback going in the first round, we end up picking Mr. Shadur Sanders or something like that. Mm. I would lose my mind, not in a good way. Like there's a more desperate need. Like we need more weapons at wide receiver. We need a proper first down type of style running back that's going to run the ball damn hard. We need more offensive linemen. To add more depth, we need more depth in terms of the interior defensive line. Mm. We actually need more depth at linebacker because we're short of bodies at this moment. And you could even also say with cornerback.
Cornerback's huge.
So the only positions really, it's not really, like if we end up picking safety in the first round, I'd be mad. If we picked up quarterback, I'd be mad. And obviously, by some weird reason we decided to do an Oakland Raiders first round draft pick and pick a kicker. That would be an absolute head scratcher.
Yeah. I mean, nothing could be worse than what happened with Kirk Cousins' mind in terms of draft situations, but there we go.
How did that pan out again? I totally forgot.
They drafted, so they traded and gave up a lot to get Kirk Cousins in the building. And then when they came to draft, they drafted the quarterback in the first round.
Oh, are you talking about the Atlanta situation?
Yeah.
Right. No, I don't think he was traded.
No, he wasn't traded. He was a free agent, but they just gave him a lot of dough.
Ah, it was like $55 million or something like that?
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
I'm sorry, mate. I thought you were talking about when he got drafted.
No. Well, I mean, the drafting situation there was weird because he was part of the same draft where they drafted the quarterback in the first round. Come on, help me out. I can see his face. It'll come to me now. He's basically a dual threat quarterback, really, really fast.
Oh, Robert Griffin?
Yes! There we go, RG3. Thank goodness.
Is that the same year?
Yeah.
I need to double check this, actually. Hold on. Hold on. That's actually kind of throw me off that now. 2012, first round, second pick. Let me see here. My mouse is actually acting a little bit wonky. Okay, so let me see.
It doesn't make for great podcasting. I was just going.
I know. My apologies. A position. let's see here. Quarterbacks. Here we go. So, holy crap.
Yeah.
So they picked up Robert Griffin and they picked up Kirk Cousins.
Later on in the draft.
Yeah, a first rounder and a fourth rounder. Wow.
Yeah. ironically, when you stop and you think about it, RG3, his mobility, which was his biggest weapon, went offline. And then Kirk Cousins took over the job. And then you look, the Kirk Cousins, their fourth round pick, overtook a first round pick.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the other quarterbacks that were selected that year. Like Andrew Luck, Ryan Tannehill, who's still not, is he still in the league? Is he still playing?
Tannehill's somewhere.
I know he's still at Tennessee, but I know Will Levis is kind of taking over the starting role at the moment. But
Can't give up on Tannehill.
Brandon Whedon. Brock Osweiler.
Oh wow! It's a Cowboys draft.
It was the same year as Russell Wilson and Nick Foles as well.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson tumbled down the draft in that one in that year.
I still remember the video clip of Russell Wilson on the phone, and it was his girlfriend at the time.
Screaming.
But she's like, "Oh yeah, I am gonna have a lavish lifestyle." Ends up, ends up getting it dropped, and look at where Russell Wilson is now. I kind of mind what's his wife's name now. Like, she's a famous recording artist. I can't remember her name, but
no idea.
Yeah, but yeah, man. It's so many different scenarios how this draft can go. Like, end of the day, like just like Jay Tuck was kind of saying last week, it's like, as long as we can fit in positions, like getting players that we'd like and know are going to fit this system and going to do the job, we shouldn't complain. I know we have our preferred players that we would love to have, but then again, they not might fit our system. So, and we need to trust the process. And like J-Tuck says, we actually end up having a lot of success on the undrafted scene.
Definitely.
Many people are talking about this as well. So, you need to think about, what about the guys are undrafted? Like, the guys are at the end of the barrel of this year's draft class. Like, is there any potential upside of the, like, and like J-Tuck mentioned last week, it's like, if I'm potentially going to be an undrafted free agent, I'm on the phone to my agent, and it's like, get me to Dallas. The chances are you will likely get more reps and potentially a more, like, hit one of those spots in the 53-man roster.
Yeah, definitely. They get a lot of success from day three onwards, the Cowboys. It's round two. I know there's Trayvon Diggs and, you know, but Trayvon Diggs has got question marks. Luke Schoonmaker, you know, Jaden Smith, there's all these names that crop up in round two where you're just like, oh, another round two guy. You know, it always seems to be round two they struggle with. But then
who's the defensive tackle that we drafted the year after? It was in 2019.
Yeah, he was our first pick.
He was our first pick. Oh, what's his name again?
I know, I can see him too. He's on the tip of my tongue. Begin with T.
Hold on a minute. I'm gonna look at. Oh no, this is doing my nothing.
And the trouble is there's people screaming at us. And the issue was for him.
Tristan Hill.
Yeah. See, I said it with T. When you got so many names swirling in your head, and you're on the mic, your mind just goes blank sometimes. Yeah, Tristan Hill. I mean, interesting, but just didn't pan out. But so was the second round. They can't seem to get it together. I mean, Marshawn Nealand.
Still plenty of time for him to shine. For sure.
Exactly. Saying Marshawn Nealand, you're like,
Yeah,
Luke Schoonmaker. Okay, we could complain about Luke. I'm keeping dropping you, sorry. But Luke Schoonmaker, you know, we're complaining about him. He was actually the only tight end for the Cowboys last season to score a touchdown.
I think he was a much bigger improvement from his rookie season, for sure. Well, obviously, injuries played a factor and stuff like that. But for him to come back from injury and actually still was basically the more active tight end compared to Jake Ferguson. So,
yeah. But yeah, I was interrupting you. What was you going to say? Sorry, mate.
I was going to say the other players that we were thinking about. There was been
this Bossman
Fat, and there's been like Tristan Howell, few others. Like it's this, you're right. The second round has been a bit of an
issue.
It's like playing Russian roulette. Like you're hoping that you don't pull the actual trigger and it's going to come back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, we say that. Yeah, for definite. I mean, we can harp on, you know, about second round picks, but there's no point. I think we've made our point on that one and people will agree.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, folks, but let us know what you think. What do you think about the Joe Milton trade? What do you think about the how does that affect us in the draft? We would love to hear your thoughts and opinions with regards to the Dallas Cowboys coming up to this NFL draft. And also, again, let us know who you would like to take on the draft. Like me personally, I would love to get Tate McMillan or Amarian Hampton, one of those guys in the first round. Later down the line, I would love to, like, if we do get an offensive lineman, my guy, Wyatt Miller from West Virginia, I would love to get him. He's, love to get him. But yeah, folks, so we'll be back in one moment. We're going to have to pay for the bills, but we'll be back in one moment.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, be sure to check out cowboysexperience.com. Me and Mike, and along with the UK Cowboys fans, we're all going this year for Thanksgiving. And we've got some big plans when we're in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Massive plans.
Stick with this channel.
we've got some amazing interviews booked up for us. Once we're actually in shock, the fact that we managed to land. So for us, we're over the moon and we cannot wait till November time when we get over there. So be sure to check it out. What are you doing?
I got a little magnet on my microphone. It fell off and I was just clicking it back on.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, fair enough. All right. But that is the end of this week's show. Like as always, before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Blogging the Boys or on Twitter at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K, and you, Mr. P.
You can find me at IMPStu on X and Instagram. And also, folks, be sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and follow us on our social media. And let us, again, leave some comments and let us know what you think about the upcoming draft and what you think about the Cowboys, just in general. We'd love to hear your opinion wherever you are in the world. But yes, folks, that is the end of this week's show. We will be back next week. Hopefully, we will get confirmation of our special guest. We'll just publish it. We don't know yet. We haven't decided yet. So, but yeah, folks, we'll be back here next week, usual time, 4 p.m. when the video comes out. But yeah, folks, but like, as always, here on the World's Team. It's not just America's team, it is the world's team. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you guys next time. See you guys.
You've been listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team. on Twitter at @_worlds_team and on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.